Welcome to the Life After Sugar podcast, the podcast that's not just about sugar, but about your relationship with it and also with food and especially with yourself. So if you want to discover your life after sugar and hear inspiring stories from all kinds of people who also cut out sugar in their way, at their pace, for their own reasons, this is the podcast for you. Because you know, when you take away the sugar, you can finally discover the real sweetness in your life. I'm your host, Netta Gorman. And today I have a very special guest, a good friend of mine, someone who I just can't help giggling with, and her name is Wendy. And it was important for me that this episode should be published today, which is April 14th, 2024, because actually today is my birthday and tomorrow, April 15th, is Wendy's birthday. And we're almost the same age. So happy birthday to both of us. And Wendy and I talk about all kinds of subjects related to food, including storage of real whole foods, because Wendy is the mother of a large family and she possesses lots of self-reliance skills that can serve us all. But especially my chat with Wendy today is about life and living life joyfully with all its ups and downs. We'll get to our chat in just a minute. But first, I just wanted to tell you that if you're looking for some free resources about how to get rid of cravings, then I have plenty for you. First, download my 5 tips to get rid of cravings. And those 5 tips may not be what you think they are. So go to aftersugarclub.com and download your 5 tips today. And come check out the Life After Sugar Facebook page and subscribe to the Life After Sugar YouTube channel, as well as my Instagram account at My Life After Sugar, which is where you'll get all kinds of inspiration so that you can see that it's perfectly possible to live a happy and active life, even if you don't eat sugar. You can also check out my TikTok account at Netta_LifeAfterSugar. Okay, so here's my chat with my friend Wendy. All right, well, today I'm talking with Wendy Bergin, my very good friend. And Wendy is known as the joyful prepper. Wendy, I'm so happy to be with you on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, so excited. Can you tell us a bit about your background with sugar and food in general?
Yeah, sure. So I love both sugar and food. So that's my background.
All right, let's move on.
No, I grew up in a typical American family where my mom grew up in Idaho. So she knew meat and potatoes, and my dad grew up in Virginia in the South. So meat and potatoes was perfect. So, and when I say meat and potatoes, I'm saying starch, you know, it was the perfect little plate of a starch, a protein, and a vegetable. And usually there was some kind of bread to go along with it. Plus, if I remember correctly, we drank a lot of soda because my dad really liked to drink soda, which, you know, that was very typical growing up in the 80s and 90s, though, that type of a diet. My mom did grow a huge garden every year and she canned a lot of vegetables. She's a good cook, but this is the way she knew how to prepare a meal, was meat, vegetables, and potatoes. Mm-hmm. And there, and then always a dessert, 100% always a dessert.
Okay.
And so I didn't know any different as I've grown up and become a mother. And that's how I fed my family as well.
Yeah. Now you have a big family, right?
Yeah, I have 7 children.
Yeah. Yeah. I admire you. I only have one. I can't imagine, you know, multiplying that by 7.
All the people. Yeah.
All the people.
Yeah, the people that I made and married. That's what I say.
And not necessarily in that order.
Right. Exactly. Not that order.
So, yes, we have lots of conversations about our people. And so how do you feed your people and make sure that, you've got enough food for them all?
Right. Well, to go along, so along with the way I grew up and then having a big family myself, I'm the oldest of four, and then having a big family myself, I also grew up with a preparedness mindset, a self-reliance mindset. So my family, my mom and dad, my mom canned everything that she grew, and my dad would bring home product like canned foods and different things like that. We would have a food storage, and so we always had at least close to a year's supply of food in the food room.
Wow.
And so I perpetuated that and have the same in my home. And I've learned different techniques I learned from my parents, but then I've learned how to work it with my family. And technology has changed too. Back in the day, there was no such thing as vacuum packing or oxygen absorbers to protect, really, to hold the food and protect the food from oxygen, moisture, that type of thing. So it was a little, your food storage didn't last as long as what it can nowadays. So what I learned was skills. I learned to can. My mom actually didn't teach me to can. She just was a perfect example. And then when I got married, I learned how to. The first thing we can, my husband and I, we were newlyweds and we lived in South Jersey where there's all these amazing tomatoes, is we learned how to can tomato sauce.
That's so
And
romantic.
oh, I know. It's just romantic. That was it. That was the end of the romance. Just kidding. Just kidding. I actually learned from an Italian woman. My husband worked for her husband and she was from Italy and we became friends and she taught me how to make tomato sauce and how to can it. So that's where I began my very, and I still have jars that have that worn out, washed out label that says tomato. It doesn't say tomato sauce anymore because they're faded, but that's where I started.
Wow.
Just doing simple canning. And like I said, my mom's the one who demonstrated and was the example of it. And so I knew I could do it. It was just a matter. So I started to take care to find my own food, not just from the grocery store, but in South Jersey, it's called the Garden State for a reason. So we would find really good fruits and vegetables, and I learned how to can. So that's kind of where I started as far as feeding my family. Now, I do store whole grains. I store whole wheat berries. I don't store whole oats, but I do keep oatmeal. And when I was a young mother, a younger mother, I'm still so young.
Oh, yeah, you're young.
I had three children. I have two stepdaughters, and then I had three children. I think I had two children at the time I was pregnant. And our financial situation was really, really rough, really rough. And I had a mentor, and she had seven kids. And we were talking about this. And this is what she told me was to take the wheat berries that I had stored. And I have a grinder, which most people don't have. But she taught me to make wheat bread, whole wheat bread, no extra flour, just wheat flour, whole grain wheat flour, and make bread for the kids. And that would help sustain them because they had energy, unlike me, right? And that's kind of, so besides growing my garden, I would find things on sale, proteins. I would can meat, hamburger, chicken. I canned a lot of things like that to keep it shelf stable. We always had a freezer full of food. And then I would make whole grain bread. And
Okay.
I would actually play around with the bread. You're not supposed to do stuff like that. You're supposed to be all scientific and do everything exact.
Yeah,
I
but
didn't
we're
do fit.
rebels, which is
We
why we.
are rebels. That's exactly right. But I would actually grind beans, like dry beans. I would grind the dry beans as I was grinding the wheat. I would put like navy beans or kidney beans, whatever, black beans even. And I would put a certain amount of beans into the flour to give it more protein.
Ah, interesting. Okay. And so you learned how to make your own bread as well.
Yes.
So where'd you get the wheat berries from?
I got them from a couple different locations. There's a place called Wheat Montana, and they had non-GMO organic wheat. And this girlfriend who told me about making wheat bread for my kids, she was from Montana. And so she, I don't know if she knew somebody, but she would have large shipments brought over to New Jersey. And like a whole bunch of us would go in on a shipment, that type of thing. And then you can actually buy wheat berries from the Latter-day Saint Home Storage Center. They have lots of different foods there that are already canned. In other words, put in number 10 can size, and it'll hold for at least 30 years if you keep it in a cool, dry, and dark environment. So I
Oh.
would pick up different things like that. Nowadays, I would either go back to Wheat Montana, or I've gotten things from Azure Standard. That's where I buy things like that, because it's harder and harder to find the non-GMO.
Yeah.
So the Azure Standard has the einkorn wheat, which is a real healthy type of wheat berry. So that's what
Yeah.
I started storing.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So here you are with your wheat berries, which I don't know. I mean, it just sounds so bucolic, you know, wheat berries. That's the proper name for them.
Wheat
All right.
kernels, wheat berries, that's what they're called.
Yeah, I just call it wheat.
Yeah, wheat. Well, most people don't know even what wheat is. That's the thing, you know, when you do, I mean, I know you teach this, but so many people don't even know where their food comes from. They don't even know what wheat is. Wheat is a grain, it's a grass, and you know, and it's gone through lots of different I don't want to call it iteration, but you know, different. You have this einkorn wheat, you have different like cousins of wheat, which is spelt and kamut, you know, and then you have what we have today. And the wheat just isn't processed the way it was back, you know, even 50 years ago. It's a
Yeah.
different type of wheat. So trying to find the non-GMO, you know, more of an organic is really what you want to do if you want to store wheat in a storage situation, which, you know, for me and my family, even though I try to eat less carbs and less sugar, I have other people that live here that I have to feed as
Yeah.
well. And they don't have some of the health issues that I do. And so I'm okay making those things for them.
Yes, because you know a lot of us don't live alone. We have a family, big one like yours, small one like mine, and anything in between. And yes, it's not realistic to think that everyone else who you're making food for is going to be exactly like you, right? So, do you have an issue with wheat?
Not really. I mean, other than I am a diabetic. I'm a type 2 diabetic, and I just share that openly and vulnerably as I'm working through the mindset of, you know, the coping skills, you know, we eat to cope, right?
Yeah.
But I don't really have a problem with wheat that I've noticed, other than just it's carbs.
Okay. Yeah. So it spikes your blood sugar. You know, whether or not you're diabetic, your blood sugar is gonna probably spike, but you might be more sensitive as a diabetic. But you don't have like gluten intolerance or anything like that.
I don't think so. I'm not 100%, possibly. Something that I should probably look into, but as of right now, I don't think so.
Okay, so here you are with your wheat berries. I'm going to try and say that as often as I can in the conversation.
That's our go-to word, wheat
That's our
berries.
go-to now. So you got these wheat berries. I just said it again. And you've stored, like, how much do you store for a family of nine?
So I had at least 1,000 pounds of wheat berries. I have a basement. Well, I don't have in Florida, but in New Jersey, I had a basement. Here in Florida, I store in a garage that's under air, so I have air conditioning in the garage. The idea is that you store so many pounds per person for a year. And so that can, and wheat berries obviously don't have to just be ground up to make bread. You can certainly eat them whole, you know, cook them and eat them whole. My mom often cooked wheat in the crock pot, for a breakfast for us, or you know, a dinner or whatever. And it was just kind of, I love cooked wheat. It's really yummy.
Wow, is that like what we call porridge in England, but Or overnight oats, but the equivalent for wheat.
Yes and no, because the wheat berries are still whole. They puff up and they have kind of a chewy texture. They're not flake like a oatmeal is, or like a porridge would be more creamy. The wheat is more a chewy, like a rice, but a little bit more chewy.
Okay, so a lot less processed, that's for sure. Yeah,
Oh,
okay.
100%. Other than being cooked, it's not processed.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you store a lot of wheat berries. Said it again. I have lost count. What else do you store in large amounts?
So I store oils and fats. Those are very important for the body. So I usually store what is it called? Extra virgin olive oil is my main oil that I store. And then I do have some avocado oil, coconut oil, and then I'm literally in the process of processing beef fat into tallow right now. Well, yeah, it's doing its thing. So I make my like I process lard, lard from beef fat into lard and tallow. So I do those kinds of things as well. So you want to have lots of fats in your storage as well.
Smashing. And you don't have any vegetable oils?
No, I do not have vegetable oils because they're not good for you.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah, they are known to be inflammatory for many people. Yeah.
Inflammatory, and they go rancid really fast as well.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
any food you store like this, you want to put it in a cool, dry, and dark environment, especially oils, because they don't last nearly as long as food, so they need to be kept cool and dark for sure, because then they'll last longer.
And I've heard that the fats that you just described, animal-based fats or vegetable-based, like avocado, coconut, are a lot more stable, shelf stable.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. You'll get longer life. Fats just don't last long. That's just the nature of fat. So you do have to replenish, use the key to a food storage really is rotation. You don't want things to be just sitting there forever, just in case, like the whole doomsday prepper. I've got, 1 million pounds of wheat berries and,
Did it.
gallons and gallons of fat. Well, yeah, but when you go to use them, because you haven't used them, number one, they could be bad and they probably will be. Number two, you don't even know how to use them. And not knowing how to use the food is just as bad as not having the food, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
So.
So the storage is not about, just, well, first of all, as you were saying, it's not about this doomsday mentality. And it's not about sort of just in case. It's actually, I'm storing it because I'm going to use it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you store it, you buy extra whatever on sale, right? I buy some 2 gallons of extra virgin olive oil because it was on sale. And now when it's not on sale, I can use the extra one, right? If you can buy two, buy two. If you can buy more, that's great. But you rotate so that when it's not on sale, then it's still on sale for you. And then when it goes back on sale, then you replenish. It's just essential. Essentially that it's just rotation.
I want to take a quick break to say that if this is your first time here, then welcome and thank you for listening to this podcast. And whether you're new or a regular and you haven't yet rated or reviewed this podcast, could I ask you to scroll down and tap on the stars to rate this podcast and also to write a short review to let me know how this podcast is helping you in your life after sugar. I love reading your reviews. And when you rate and review this podcast, not only does it encourage me to continue making new episodes, but it also helps to share this podcast and have more people see it so that we can help more people feel better and lose weight with less sugar. So again, thank you for rating and reviewing this podcast. and for spreading the word about sugar. Yeah, and the fact that necessity requires you to look out for the sales and everything else because you have such a lot of people to feed.
Yes. Yeah, okay. You do. And you have to save money. Well, I do.
Yeah.
Just saying. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't.
Oh, I'm a millionaire. That's another thing we have in common.
Yes. Lots of zeros. We have lots of zeros.
Yes. Just that missing number in the front of the zero. But
go ahead.
Yeah. So you've got the your prepping skills and your self-sufficient skills, as it were, or knowledge, and you know how to make bread. Do you ever buy store-bought bread?
I do, mainly because I'm lazy. The end. That's pretty much.
That's another thing we have in common.
No, that is nothing we have in common. You are amazing that way. I'm lazy. It just, when I make bread, I'm honestly just out of the habit of making bread is what it comes down to. When I had a lot of little children at home, I was making bread, you know, once or twice a week, you know, and maybe, you know, just depend at least once a week because, you know, I was feeding them that. I can make bread. It's not a problem, but it's just getting back into the rhythm of doing, and I just don't have as many people here and we're not eating as much carbs and bread as like we used to eat a ton and now we don't. So I don't need to make bread as often.
Yeah, makes sense. When did you learn you were type 2 diabetic?
July of 2021.
Okay.
So it's been about 2.5 years now.
Okay.
And I was in denial for a solid year.
You were in denial?
After that. So he said 2021, I was angry and I was, I felt shame and all the things about that. And so I just really didn't do anything about that. I was like, I don't believe you, even though it was true. I just like, I'm not going to play this game.
Yeah.
That's not true.
And then
total denial.
What made you play the game?
Well, I still feel like I'm still working, you know, still trying to work it out, honestly. And it's interesting because I just read this quote. The quote is, it's not a strategy issue. It's a worth issue. And this, the quote came from a business email, if you will, about doing business. But I really like thought about this. It's been 48 hours. And I'm like, that doesn't matter what you're talking about. It's not about the strategy to lose weight or to clean your house or to homeschool your kids or to, you know, make $1 million or $1 million. It's not about the strategy. It's about the worth, the feeling that you feel about yourself. And I think that's really where I'm working hard to uncover my worth and feel how do I do that? Like we talk about, you know, if you believe in God, we talk about divine worth, divine nature, or just in cultural terms, we talk about self-worth, you know, self-care, all these types of things. But what does that really break down into? Are there steps to how to do that? I don't know how to do all of that stuff. And I know that food is the way that I deal with the things that are hard in my life and rewiring my brain and understanding my worth. That's what has to happen. And that's what I'm uncovering right now.
Yes. Yes. And we've had several conversations about this together. Mm-hmm. And it's like I say in the intro to this podcast that when you take away the sugar, you can finally discover the real sweetness in your life. It's all very clever to say that. It's also true.
It is.
Yeah.
Clever and true.
Mm-hmm. Clever and true. That pretty much sums us both up.
There you go.
There you go.
And we'll just throw wheat berries in there for the fun of it.
But I mean, it's true that when you look under the hood, as it were, of not just what you eat, but how you eat and why you eat.
Yes.
then you're kind of you're taking away the smoke screen, because I call sugar a smoke screen. It sort of prevents you from actually dealing with what it is
Yes.
that's going on. And when you take away the smoke screen, you've actually got to grow up, and I know we've talked about this before, you
Yes.
grow up and deal with stuff like a big girl.
Big girl, yes.
Yeah, big girl.
Yes, it is. And it's, this is what I've been saying for a little while. Every one of us, there's not one human being on earth who doesn't make a decision to stay out of pain instead of to choose joy and freedom. We tend to lean towards comfort and getting out of pain versus dealing with the stuff and choosing the joy and the freedom that comes with dealing with the stuff. And we're just all so in so much pain that it comes at us from all different angles, whether it's a kid that yells at you, or whether it's, a work thing, or another family, whatever it is, we feel pain and we want to be out of pain. And for me, I eat that pain. And so learning how to work through that, I don't need to eat the pain. I can just feel the pain, be sad about the pain, and I can move on.
And that is, you know, who ever taught you to do that? Nobody, as far as I know, nobody teaches us to do that when we're kids.
No.
And then we wonder why we're struggling to learn it as adults.
Right. Absolutely. And then on top of that, there's the shame that comes, right? And shame doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't get you anywhere. And we shame ourselves first and foremost, not just the TV advertisements and, the social media, this and that, and all the things. We shame ourselves like, well, I really shouldn't have had that brownie, or I'm a horrible person because I can't make it through the day without a soda or whatever. And we just put all this pressure on us. And at the end of the day, we're just in pain and we don't know another way to deal with our pain.
Exactly. And you know, we're not those of us who have, I don't know, taken steps and been brave enough to find other ways to cope, right? It's not so much that we jumped out of bed in the morning and said, oh, I know, I think I'll learn a new coping skill today. Right? It's just that we had no choice. We're just backed into some corner thinking, I can't carry on this way.
Because you can't carry on either way, you can't carry on, right? On some levels, when the day, like in the morning, we all have the best intentions, like this is the day of whatever it is. But then as we get through the day, and whether we have children or don't have children or work or don't, we get pressures from the day, and by the night we're done. I think it's in the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. He talks about the whole decision making. The further you get in the day, the less what would be the less efficient or effective you are at making good decisions. And that's why, like, my kid last night, she started fussing at me. It was 10 o'clock at night, and we were having a little banter, if you will. And I'm like, I gotta go to bed because this is not gonna end well for you or for me if I don't go to sleep right now, because I'm done. I'm pretty much done at 5 o'clock at night. Like, I don't make it very long. Don't let me make many decisions after five.
The shop is closed at five.
Yeah, pretty much. It's done. She's gone.
I think it's the decision-making process. There's so many thousands of mini decisions that we need to be taking all through the day. And it's the same for willpower. You know, by the end of the day, there's just no juice left in the brain. You know, that's just a figure of speech, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And then you fall into, I'm just going to do this. And I have a daughter, a younger teenage daughter, and she's learned bad habits from me. I'll totally own that. She's learned how my depression shows up in binge eating and binge TVing. You know what I mean? Because I'm like awake, but I'm not really present at the same time. And so that's where I've been. I'm certainly doing better than I used to, but she's sadly picked up on that behavior from me. And I've this month I'm doing my best to eliminate as many sweets from my house as possible, not buying extra things, not making them, et cetera, because that's what I'm trying to do for myself and my family. And last night she's like, I need something sweet. I need something sweet. And she couldn't figure out anything sweet to eat. Like she couldn't figure it out. And so she made, I'm letting her work it out on some levels as well, but not having anything in the house is helpful. And she went and she created some milkshakey type of thing, but it certainly wasn't as bad as a loaf, a whole pan of brownie. Not that she does that, but brownies or a whole bunch of ice cream, and there's nothing to indulge. And so she's having to just cope with not having sweets. But we have to create the environment so that we are more successful at the same time.
Yeah, it's a challenge, especially for moms, because let's face it, it's mostly us who are
Yes.
responsible for the feeding of the people.
The people.
The people. You say that with such a sigh.
I do the people.
Yeah, and it's like it's quite a weight on our shoulders to be the role model. And then half the time, really, to realize that we're not the role model that we wish we were.
Yeah. And then we shame ourselves.
Yeah. And then round and round it goes.
It's a cycle. Yeah, that's not okay. It's
Yeah.
really not okay.
It's really difficult to step off that cycle because, again, I think we weren't taught any other way.
Exactly. And I think podcasts like yours and others, we're
And yours.
learning. Well, thank you. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. That we're trying to create that like exit to get off the cycle. We don't have to think that way. Like I grew up, you just have a dessert after every meal. That's just which every now maybe not breakfast because breakfast was usually sugar. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
that is
That's
breakfast was dessert.
yeah. I mean, my mom, like I said, I've got an amazing mom. So it's not like she did anything wrong. She was just doing the same thing she was taught. And she cooked pretty much every meal from scratch. I grew up with a mom who was a stay-at-home mom and cooked every, we never ate out ever. Maybe we got a pizza once a month, but that was it. Maybe Chinese food a couple times a year, but other than that, mom cooked every meal and packed our lunches and different things like that. But like one of my comfort foods, this will may everybody just like go, but is mom would make hot chocolate and then she would toast, and we would dip toast with cinnamon sugar on it in the hot chocolate. And I love that. I love that. And yesterday I was looking for something, and I was like, I'm gonna have some hot chocolate and toast. And I thought, I don't need that. Like I know how it's gonna make me feel after it's delicious going in. But once it's in, it doesn't make me feel good at all. I feel so icky and gross. And for once, I manned up, if you will. I womaned up. I was all a big girl. And I was like, no, that's not going to make me feel good. So I'm not going to do it. So there.
Wow, I'm so proud of you. That
Thank you.
saves me a text message to you to tell you to do it, to man up or to woman
Yeah.
up. Yeah. Thank you for saving me from
Oh,
having to
you're welcome.
shake
Yeah.
you up. Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate that. If you could say wheat berries one more time, that would be helpful,
I'll try
though.
and slip it in. So, Wendy, listen, I mean, I think that a lot of people listening will relate to the fact that it feels like there is no other option but to revert back to how we've always done things. And that, what we call adulting is just like, especially towards the after 5 p.m., as you're saying, it's just
Yeah.
that we have no energy left over to be a grown-up
Yes.
anymore.
True. I agree with that. I agree with that.
So actually doing the big girl thing, is like it requires such a lot of effort. And what I teach people is to get to a point where it's automatic, second nature. You don't have to think about it. It doesn't require any effort or willpower because it's part of your new identity. And that's also what James Clear talks about in Atomic Habits. And I think, but that journey to getting there is different for each person. And I think
Yes.
you're on the journey as well.
100%. And you're walking into something unknown, and what, and I know you teach this. It's like, I don't want to give up this thing that brings me joy and comfort. Like, I love hot chocolate and toast or whatever it is. I love that. And that those things have accompanied me along my life through very, very difficult things when I had no one and there was the hot chocolate. You know what I'm saying? But I don't, and I feel like I'm abandoning it for something better. And so there's, it's dumb. It's kind of really dumb that we do that. But yet it's still inside of me. Like, I don't want to abandon hot chocolate because it was there for me when I needed it, you know? But I don't need it anymore. And I think that's the difference. The difference is I don't need it anymore because I'm learning how to use my creative skills, tendencies, desires to make something better for myself and to create a life that is more joyful because I'm taking care of myself very first instead of even the people first, me first.
Yeah, that is a very powerful message. And that is why you're known as the joyful prepper.
I am.
Yeah. And you know, and yet another thing, apart from wheat berries, just said it last time, that is another thing we have in common, is that we are about being joyful for you, joyful prepper, for me, living a joyful sugar-free
Yeah.
life.
Yes.
Without feeling restricted, without feeling deprived. I mean, if you're going to cut sugar and still feel restricted and deprived, what's the point?
Right. Yes, exactly. There needs to be, I don't even want to call it balance, but I think there needs to be healthy, just the life is going to bring us challenges, and we can choose to be grateful for the challenges, even when they're in the midst of them. There's plenty to be grateful for while you're in the midst of a challenge. And you can still honor and take care of yourself without going into coping, these coping mechanisms. Like, you can just face them head on. I'm not a pro at this yet. I just want to say, but I do know deep within my heart the challenging things I've been through in the recent past. I haven't used food nearly as much as I used to cope with hard things. And so
Amazing.
that shows me that I am, not just a third grader anymore. I'm like moving into fourth and fifth grade maturity level. So that's
Yeah.
good. See my progress.
Yeah, I know you're going to overtake me very, very
I don't think
quickly.
that's possible. I don't think that's possible.
No, just on the maturity level,
Oh,
really.
maybe there, maybe. I don't think so, though.
I don't know, because I'm stuck fifth, sixth grade, you know.
Are you? Oh, you're already to middle school. Okay. Well, that's
Yeah.
good to know. I'm still in elementary school.
All right, I just want to send a message to everyone listening that I said at the beginning, Wendy and I are longtime good friends and we're just mucking about together. Don't take too much of what we say seriously, except for the stuff about sugar.
Right.
Wendy, I just want to tell everyone how they can get in touch with you and find you. Can you tell us how?
Yeah, absolutely. My website is joyfullyprepared.com. And on there, you can find my podcast, which is called Joyfully Prepared. But you can also go to iTunes, Spotify, all those places to find Joyfully Prepared podcasts where I talk. I do have guests on and I do solo episodes as well and just talk about elevating our thoughts, being joyful, doing things awkwardly. Learning skills, just like what Netta talks about, we're learning these skills so that we can take care of ourselves first and then our family and communities. And you can find my free Facebook group on at Joyfully Prepared as well.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, I'm part of your group. I follow everything you do.
Everything. You're my biggest
Everything.
fan.
Yeah, you're my guru. Thank you, Wendy. It's been smashing to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, great chat with Wendy. And you know how some people, especially good friends, just put a smile on your face, whatever the subject that we talk about. But here, especially in this episode, Wendy and I don't just talk about wheat berries, we talk about life and how we want to live life. And hopefully that can inspire you to think about how you want to live your life And the conclusion that Wendy and I have come to is that life is way more joyful when you eat less sugar and when you actually deal with real life rather than try to avoid it in all kinds of ways. And yes, this is way easier said than done. And that's exactly why I created the Freedom from Cravings Formula 90-Day Program. It's a program that's specifically designed for women over 50 who want to get rid of cravings and live the long-term benefits of a sugar-free life sustainably. In the program, you'll get step-by-step guidance and customized support through the 5-step formula that I've developed to help you get control over cravings so that you can finally live your life with more energy and fit into your favorite clothes effortlessly and feel confident in your food choices so that you can ditch the shame and embarrassment that you feel every time your emotions make you slip or fall off the wagon, and so that you never feel like you're on some kind of a restrictive diet. If you're at the stage of your life where you're finally ready to invest in yourself after all these years of taking care of others, let's chat. You can hop on a free clarity call with me at any time by going to aftersugarclub.com and clicking on the big green button, schedule a clarity call. We'll have a quick 30-minute one-on-one chat to see if the Freedom from Cravings Formula 90-Day Program is a good fit for you. So go to aftersugarclub.com. Speak soon. That's it for this week. Keep in touch and see you soon for another episode.